Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show. I am your host, Nathan Ross, Tax CPA. And as you know, we start off each show by asking, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you money or create significantly more wealth over the rest of your life? And that question is taking on even more importance as we watch these deficits pile up and we spend billions and billions of dollars that we hadn't planned on helping fight assorted conflicts, I guess you might say, around the world. And you know, it's almost assumed. I heard Rand Paul, Ron's son, say this week, because I guess he's getting a lot of blame for putting a roadblock in the way of another $80 billion in funding, which, you know, that's a lot of money by anybody's calculation. And what he wanted was to simply insert a provision that would give the inspector general, or a inspector general, the right to review how the dollars got spent. And for that, he's castigated by both Democrat and Republican alike for blocking aid, you know, for the Ukrainians. And, you know, I would say, I mean, as much as, you know, we want to help people around the world, when did we become the big brother that's supposed to go borrow money we don't have to fund these skirmishes, or whatever you want to call them? I guess it's more than a skirmish in this case. But, you know, the way your country is run, the history of your leaders, et cetera, there's consequences. And, you know, we have consequences. Who do you think's going to pay the tab for all this debt that we're racking up to, yes, fund the Ukrainian defense? And I understand, you know, that I guess there's a humanitarian angle, but we've been saying that how many trillions of dollars now, right? I mean, we've spent trillions of dollars on humanitarian efforts. And so the bottom line is, as we've been saying since we started this radio program over a year and a half ago, we're out of money. We don't have money to pay for many things that our folks need, including our folks need the interest on the government's debt paid, or we're going to have a depression come 2029, 2030, by all estimates, by those that watch this space, that know how to calculate and project and target, et cetera. And, of course, the inflationary tendencies that are not going away are making that race to the bottom happen even faster. And so, you know, again, we're going to keep talking on the show. Today's a good example. We're going to talk more about what you can do to avoid the oncoming tax train, that there is no question at all that it's coming. It's not if, it's when. And we think when is 2029 to 2030. The good news is that if you've got retirement money that you have not yet don't have an understanding yet with the government on what your rate's going to be when you start pulling those dollars out, there is a way to get there in a cost-optimized fashion that will allow you to avoid much of the calamity that's going to come vis-a-vis the tax brackets going up. They have to go up. It's not Democrat or Republican, it's math. And it's rather troubling. It's not, it confirms what we've been saying all along, which is it's really not about whether you're Democrat or Republican, it's how much, or how rather, we're going to spend the money. And on things like, humanitarian support and payments. I think both parties just literally put their head in the sand. And, of course, if it was truly humanitarian, you know, not self-induced, as it is in some cases, and if the money really got to the people that needed the help, I guess that would be one thing. But boy, I just wonder how much of this $80 billion is not lining the pockets of someone on the other side of the world that understands the lack of accountability and understands the volume of dollars that will keep coming if they keep asking. And, you know, just, I don't know. All I can tell you is think about your own financial situation. Think about how to avoid the tax train that's coming, and let's try to be prepared. I'm going to fast forward. We're here at the first break already. We're a little bit late getting started today. If you want to connect with me today, feel free to shoot a text to 713-581-0195. We'll be right back.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at nprawls.com, Nathan at nprawls.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
There wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world and I never had a chance, girl. And Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
Okay, welcome back to this week's TaxMath Show with Nathan Ross. And as we were going into the first break, we were talking about the oncoming tax train. There's no question it's coming. And we're going to start this week by, we're going to continue this week by talking about Roth conversions. And then here over the next week or two, we're going to get into effectively a plan to live, you know, it's tax-free income through, you know, the end of your life, basically, if we can affect your investments the way that, you know, they need to be structured to take advantage of the tax rules as opposed to what you've probably been used to and what you've been told, you know, by your classic 401k advisors, et cetera, that, you know, unfortunately aren't zoned in as much as they should be on these tax rate, in most cases, these tax rate issues. And, you know, we hope to show you ways that, you know, the more in the financial planning sector where they use primarily insurance, index funds, mutual funds, et cetera, how that those tools, while they're effective, in many cases, if we could marry that up with real estate and the benefits of the tax code specifically for real estate assets, which generally have a much more upside in terms of the throughput investment-wise. And, you know, we find that as you get to retirement these days, your ability to pay all your bills, including significant health care coverage under the current life expectancy expectations, you know, it's not the good old days where you could say, well, gee, if I've got $700,000 or $800,000 or maybe $1 million in the bank, I'm good to go. Well, now that might take care of your long-term health care needs if you had you or your spouse had a catastrophic type or a chronic illness, catastrophic illness. You may be surprised to learn that the average American couple will spend in excess of $800,000 in retirement on health care. That's not just premiums. That's your actual out-of-pocket if you don't want to be in a Medicaid facility, if you can even qualify. And the problem is that you won't qualify for Medicaid until you've been required to spend down the bulk of your assets. So anyway, it's a new paradigm, and I hear other shows on the air talk about retirement, and they're talking about another scenario altogether. It's not real. It's not reality. Hey, before we go further, I want to bring in my associate that you've heard several times in the recent past. I hope you'll hear more of him. Dan Dubose, CPA. Dan, are you there? Are you on hold?
I'm here, Nathan. Good afternoon.
Okay.
Good morning.
Great. Well, yeah, good morning for me. Early mornings, 5:21 here in the ICT time zone. That would be Southeast Asia. You know, Dan, I was just looking at some of the info that we briefly covered a couple weeks ago when we got off this or got onto this topic of trying to explain how those bottom brackets work and whether one's Social Security is going to get taxed. And, you know, I didn't go into as much detail. I'm going to explain right now just so people can understand how dire the federal budget is. And I'm going to tell you that as of 2022, so this is current year information, 96 cents of every tax dollar goes to pay for four things. Now think about that. You're talking 4 cents being left over after these categories, and this is only four categories, okay? You want to guess what they are, Dan? Certainly you know a couple of them at least. You may know all four.
Social Security.
That's one of them. That's number one, actually. I think these are ranked, maybe.
Medicare.
Medicare would be one.
Medicaid.
There you go. Man, you're knocking them out. You're not looking at my handout, are you? Maybe you are.
I'm going to
okay.
find one.
And then lastly, what's another big one? In fact, I'd be surprised if this isn't the biggest one, but it must not be. I've lost track of just how fast the Social Security and Medicare components have risen.
Of
now that I'm actually
interest,
able.
Interest is
yeah,
a
that,
big thing.
That's right, interest on the national debt. So think about this, listeners. 4 cents out of every tax dollar is left for funding. I'm going to get into some real esoteric programs here. Well, I shouldn't lead with this first one. Children's nutrition, that's obviously important. Again, some home humanitarian. If we're gonna borrow money, I'd say let's borrow it for that stuff. Drug enforcement, Bureau of Indian Affairs, federal student loans. That's getting ready to go up if we forgive more of the student loans. Income assistance. I believe that's a adjective for welfare. Border security, public housing, NASA, rural development. Department of Family Services, Food Safety and Health Services, and, oh, let's not forget, Animal and Plant Health Inspection. And then we've got Disaster Relief, the IRS is in there, Army.
We've got to
Coast
pay the
Guard.
IRS so we can get this money in here.
That's exactly right. We pay them to destroy 30 million tax returns a year ago. I'm sure you saw that story. that came out this week. I can't even fathom who would make a decision. I mean, I can understand, okay, we mixed that box over there up. It had 300 returns in it. This had to be intentional. I haven't read the article. Have you read the article in detail, Dan? Can you explain what really
happened? I just saw and said, well, that's kind of the status these days, it seems. You know, we've got tax returns that they haven't even acknowledged or filed yet, and that's probably in that pile of that $30 million.
I saw just – I didn't read the whole article, but I think this happened like last – well, let's see. Was it March of – I think it was 2020, wasn't it? Or was it 2021?
Yeah.
Maybe in 2021. But anyway, that's not a mistake. Somebody made the call on that, and I tell you what, they ought to be embarrassed to be – I don't care how many billions we fund them. You can't defund stupid, apparently, and that's just stupid, whoever decided that would be an efficient way of processing tax returns. And then that probably explains the self-reported, the IRS themselves, in the State of the IRS report they delivered to Congress this past January, indicated that they answered 1 out of 9 phone calls last year, 1 out of 9. And I'd like to see the numbers on how many written correspondences did you respond to, because at one time, I believe there was either 18 or 30 million backlog. I'm not sure it counts the 30 that got – maybe they were caught up after they did the $30 million return dump. But in any
when
event –
they threw them away.
In any event, they're part of this remaining 4 cents. And – National Endorsement of the Arts, of course, we gotta help our musicians, artists, etc. That's all part of the democracy in which we live. Food stamps, the U.S. Geological Survey, I'm not sure what all that entails, U.S. Forest Service, the federal courts, the Air Force. So let's see, we got Army... I don't remember seeing Navy on this list, but obviously it would be there if the Air Force, Army, Coast Guard, etc. are. And then lastly, the EPA. And I guess now we've got a, a disinformation or misinformation agency that's being created. Can you imagine that? Yeah, where would they stop? You know what? I'm sorry. I forgot. I see now where Navy is. There's a second page here. Center for Disease Control, Peace Corps, Fish and Wildlife Services, FBI, Federal Highway Administration. These are a lot of areas. It goes on and on. FEMA, Smithsonian, Congress, SBA. That's 4 cents out of every dollar, tax dollars left. Now do you understand why we're tracking such an incredible budget deficit? Because we're going to spend it whether we have it or not. The question is, how long do we keep having the ability to borrow? Because at some point, when you can't pay the interest on the debt, guess what happens? It's hard to sell. Yeah, hard to sell T-bills, isn't it, Dan? I think that's where you were headed. Yeah, and so I don't know. I mean, maybe the modern monetary policy folks think they have the solution, which is we simply print, as long as we're putting an end to the back pockets of taxpayers/consumers. Supposedly that rebound effect of spending those dollars magically escapes inflation, which I haven't heard a lot of policy proposals lately from that crowd. Maybe they're rethinking that in light of what's really happened here, because in large measure, the most recent, $6 trillion or so went into the pockets of taxpayers and consumers. It was called stimulus or relief from COVID. And I don't know. I think most economists are thinking that's why we're in the strait we are right now, the bad strait with inflation. There's a quote here in this article I was looking at from former U.S. Comptroller General for 10 years under Bush and Clinton. This guy, was head of the GAO, the Governmental Accounting, I forget what the O stands for.
Office.
office, that's right, and Board of Social Security. He's elected the CPA Hall of Fame. Dan, you've been elected to the CPA Hall of Fame? I haven't had any phone calls on that one. Okay, well, I'm going to be like Dolly. Pardon, I'm going to pass it up if it comes, just FYI. In any event, he's got a quote that I really like. It says, regardless of what politicians tell you, any additional accumulations of debt are, absent dramatic reductions in the size and the role of the government, basically deferred tax increases. Unless we begin to get our fiscal house in order, there's simply no other way that means tax increases. There's simply no other way to handle our ever-mounting debt burdens. Well, actually, I'm not sure when this quote was made, but he was thinking we had a way at some point to get the spending under control. But he said the only solution is to double the tax rates over time. And I don't know how far back this quote goes, but we're basically sitting on the doorstep of that needing to happen, and yet there seems to be no braking, B-R-A-K-I-N-G, being applied to that train. You know, Congress keeps spending. The White House just announced the fiscal year 23 budget proposal a month and a half, 2 months ago, and of course it included all the tax provisions that had been in the Build Back Better Act that it hasn't passed yet, and I guess they thought they would slip that in because you really didn't hear about that. Dan, did you, when the FY23 budget proposal got released, did anybody say, oh yeah, by the way, we've included all those tax provisions that we couldn't get Congress to agree on?
You recall no. that?
Yeah, I didn't either. And so the reality is it's obviously a wish list. It's not going to pass. But the bottom line was that was a $5.3 trillion budget proposal, which I've forgotten where it ranks in the all-time, speaking of Hall of Fames, how about the Hall of Fame of the largest deficit budgets? It's up there. It got its invite. Let me put it that way. And, you know, the problem is, it was, I forget how much the deficit was, but normally our tax collections are in the $4 to $4.5 trillion range each year. I've lost track of that number. You know what it's been most recently, Dan, by chance?
I don't, but it, you know, this $5.3 trillion is going to kick it into one of the highest ever as far as the deficit is concerned. You know, we're already pushing, $29 trillion. It's going to push it to that $30 trillion mark for sure. So, and then try to carry the interest on all that. So.
Yeah, if it's not 30 already, and of course, the 30 trillion, the 30 trillion we're talking about is only the part the government will admit to. The real deficit, if you look at all the unfunded mandates that are coming, is over 130. Some say it's over 230. It's out there. And why do we not have to book that? Well, because we say so. We say, and by the way, we're the only developed economy, Dan, that doesn't book those unfunded mandates, okay? All the other major economies do show it, and we take the approach that, hey, it hadn't happened yet, meaning the laws, the Social Security and Medicaid indexes, none of that's kicked in yet. It's not, I mean, it's in the law, but we could still change it and probably will change it to some extent. You know, full retirement age will go up. Who knows what will no longer be covered under Medicare, you know, but the point is we're in a tight box. There's not a lot of maneuverability on these social programs. And I saw a statistic the other day, and maybe, I don't know if we were discussing it, Dan, but 10,000 baby boomers a day qualify now for is either Social Security or Medicare One. I'm not sure. Do you remember?
About Medicare for the most part. Okay. That's the one at 65. Yeah, baby boomers turning 65.
That's crazy. Think about that. And so now you understand why we refer to it as a tax train. The deficit is moving at a lightning pace, and again, you're right on the, you're on the tracks, and we got to get you off the tracks, and we've got several ways of doing that. Some of the options might be a little uncomfortable for you. We happen to understand that the current tax code has some incredible tax elimination, deferral, you know, there's several different levels for assorted insurance-related strategies, where when you look at this insurance, the bitter taste that you might otherwise think about kind of dissipates, because you realize, oh, wait a minute, this isn't necessarily, we won't do this for insurance reasons, we're going to do it to save tax dollars. And that's a big deal, combined with one of Dan and my favorite, which is the life insurance retirement plan. And we're going to talk more about that this week and in future weeks. You know, involves using insurance as a tool that might have some death benefit. It might not. Depends on what happens to you as you get more elderly. Or it might be for little or no extra cost over the premium, be able to fund your long-term health care needs. So if you do get in a situation where you've got to go into a facility, it could be the difference between the Medicaid ones that you're met with the stench of urine when you walk in the front door compared to some of the nicer facilities that your funds, your death benefit on this type of insurance can be tapped in advance of dying to pay for those costs. And then chronic illness is a second rider that we can put on those. And all the while, this insurance policy has a cash value that you could, if it's structured correctly, take that money out without paying tax. In fact, it doesn't even get reported to the IRS. It's even better than a Roth, assuming you can qualify. You do have to be able to be medically underwritten, and the longer you wait, the less likely you'll get coverage. So, Dan, what do you think the sweet spot is on the age that our listeners ought to target if they haven't already heard about this, to get more information and find out 50s, whether they
50s cover? 50s would be 50s? The perfect starting time. I mean, the ideal date would be age zero, back when you're a baby. But, you know, it's kind of hard to write $1 million policy on a baby. But, so, you know, get larger values on a 50-year-old, surely, and can really make some positive inroads into that tax-free retirement plan.
Yeah, and even I've been told by one of the gurus in our industry that even someone in their 70s that has good health,
yes,
and is willing to pay a higher premium. Let's underscore that, because it's all reflective of health and age. Would still be able to get coverage, but it'd be expensive. And Dan, I'm just curious. You talk about the 50 to say 60 year old. Would you? I mean, I know there's many fewer long term health care options now in terms of just insuring for that one risk. But would you say the life insurance retirement plan type policy premiums would be less expensive? I mean, those premiums are not cheap by any stretch, right?
But it would be cheaper than buying a outright long-term care policy.
Right, and adding it to a cash value policy, right?
Right.
And there's no
yes.
question we're coming in well under that number. So bottom line is, if you can get coverage, then we use riders, which cost little, if any. Some carriers will add them for free. Others have a smaller charge to that death benefit policy, that cash value policy, et cetera, to where, again, you're saving money, and then you don't have the heartburn later that you might with a long-term health care policy if you went that route alone. Of course, it's good news, bad news. Maybe the good news is you never had to use it. The bad news is you had to pay for it. And so by combining the risk, the longevity risk with the tax rate risk, because again, the cash value that you can pull out of these policies doesn't even get reported. It's not just tax-free. It doesn't even get a 1099-R. Correct, Dan?
That's correct.
And that's a big deal.
It could, with under some circumstances if you did not follow the rules. I mean, you got,
right.
Again, there's rules to follow.
Exactly, or it becomes all taxable, 100%
of it
if you cross the line. Hey, let's do this. Let's take another break. We'll come back, and we're going to finish talking about a little bit about the Roth conversion, and then we're going to go into taking a look at real estate syndication criteria just briefly. We'll be right back with the Be a Planner, the Tax Mash Show.
Reach down. Reach out and lead me. Guide me and keep me in the shelter of your care each day. Cause I am a seeker and you are a keeper. You are a leader, won't you show me the way?
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
From Houston. When I got them North Texas blues, thought I'd paid all my dues. When them South Texas blues told me, son, you ain't through. And them East Texas blues, and them West Texas too. I've done all I know to do, trying to lose. Trying to
Okay, welcome back to the third segment of this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show. Dan, are you there?
Yes.
Very good. Another quote that I wanted to mention because, well, there's actually two of them, and this really drives home the point. If you think that maybe these tax rates are going to, pass you by as a taxpayer, think again. Quote, the problem is that there are not enough high-income earners to satisfy today's debt and deficits. This means that middle-income America will soon be in the scope of the congressional rifle because, this is important to understand, the poor have nothing to tax, thus the middle class will be forced to ante up. Where do you get the money, Dan?
From the middle class with a big high.
That's right. Where have we always gotten it? And you know, this billionaire, the billionaire tax that was announced simultaneous to the FY23 tax proposal, that was a smokescreen. That was to hide the fact that all the Build Back Better provisions that affect, people making $400,000 if you're single, $450,000 on up if you're married and filing joint. And it's not just that. That's it's a real misnomer to think that that's where the pain starts. No, listen to this. Here's another. This is from your Congressional Budget Office, and Dan, I know the Congressional Budget Office gets it wrong a lot. I suspect they may be dead on here. pardon the pun, is Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid go unchanged. And go unchanged is in bold, so because we know there's going to have to be changes. But the problem is, even a change that us old folks are going to whine and howl about has very little impact on the budget, typically. It's like a Band-Aid. It's not a real fix. But anyway, we'll continue here. If Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid go unchanged, the rate for the lowest tax bracket would increase from 10% to 25%. The tax rate on incomes in the current 25% bracket, which is most, I think most of our clients would fit in that 24 to 32 bracket, wouldn't you say, Dan? We've got some aberrations
nowadays,
in there,
that's
of course.
That's a classic middle class definition right there right these days, is that, you know, at the high, maybe 37%.
Well, get this. Let's talk about the 25% bracket. What do you think the Congressional Budget Office is projecting that the rate would need to be increased to? You're not going to believe this.
Double?
You're a little low. About 20% low. 63% is what the CBO, from 25 to 63. Now think about it. Now is that Roth conversion looking like, oh, you know, it may be a little bit of a headache, and, yeah, I'm going to have to pull some money out to pay the tax. Would you rather pay it at 24% or even 32, or would you prefer to write the check when it's 63%? Think about
this. Double the 32.
Dan, this is like someone going into partnership. You know, they're going to start a business, let's say. They're the ones putting the money in, right? And the other partner is saying, well, you know, let's get this thing started, and I'll tell you later what my share is going to be, okay?
That's a great analogy.
And then you have no idea. You have no – and let's say they somehow have controlling vote, because I think we both understand the government's the one that writes these rules, and ultimately it's our Congress people that are going to be forced. They're going to be forced to admit they've overspent. And, of course, they're all running for the exits, right? Look how many people have announced they're done in front of the 2022 midterms, and I suspect – it'll be a huge number in 2024, depending on what happens in 2022, right?
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, and then get this. The highest tax rate bracket would have to be raised from 35 to, what do you think, Dan, CBO scoring?
Well, if the others had double, this has probably got a double too, or more, double plus.
Yeah, or more. 88%. Boy, you talk about the good old days. This is going back to when
88% since World War II, I believe it is.
Well, you remember Ronald Reagan, I think the rates were at 93 in the highest when he said he would not make more than, I think it was, two movies a year.
Oh,
because the state of California and the feds got all the extra money. It's like, why am I going to go work, right? And so, you know, this really won't affect the super wealthy, the billionaires, the ones that can borrow against their stock holdings and pay no tax. Kind of like we borrow against that cash value and that insurance we talked about, that we don't have to pay tax. That's a strategy. Again, let's do what the wealthy do to the extent we can. They got it figured out. They got smarter accountants and tax attorneys than we are, right, Dan? I mean, I don't think we hold ourselves out to be the type that's advising Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos, but we know that's what they do because there's been assorted data leaks that explain that. But in any event, was out of, let's see, I don't see a date on that quote, but it's Congressional Budget Office, long-term economic effects of some alternative budget policy. So this is obviously a document that they did probably, I don't know if it was at the behest of Congress. I think most people in Congress would like to hide this. But this is what Ron Paul is concerned about. It's not just Ron Paul. Even Joe Manchin from the other side of the aisle.
Yep.
Thank the good Lord above for Joe Manchin. I mean, I really think he has saved this country, at least temporarily, from going over the edge. I mean, can you imagine? Nobody knew Ukraine was coming. He called it. He didn't say Ukraine, but he said, we don't know the next calamity that we're getting ready to be looked to as the one that has all the money that can pay. And boy, was he right. Okay, let's take our last break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk just briefly about partnership selection and syndications. I want to just touch on a few comments I heard on the show right before ours today. We'll be right back with the last segment of the Be a Planner Tax Mass Show with Nathan Ross and today Dan Dubose.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday, 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross on AM 700 KSEV.
Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be A Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Like the song, Bobby McGee. Longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and big dreams. And there are many just like me
with big dreams and big dreams.
Okay, welcome back to the last few minutes of this week's Be a Planner Tax Mass Show with Nathan Ross and my guest today, Dan Dubose, CPA. And I wanted to say something real quick, Dan. I looked up quickly the U.S. debt versus the interest on the debt. This is from the year 2000. The U.S. national debt at that point, it's hard to believe. 2000 now. That's 22 years ago. The $5.6 trillion was the national debt.
That's
so what is that?
22 years ago.
Right. Correct. The interest on the debt then was $222 billion. Okay? So now, 2022, call it $29 trillion, and you know, due to low – and see, here's part of the rub, and this is what's going to change. We've got the interest on the debt, it seems to be a paltry $417 billion on $29 trillion. So you had a five-fold – or let's see, be about a – yeah, about a six-fold increase in debt, but the interest didn't quite double. Well, why was that? Well, we've had, you know – to interest rates in 2022, they probably have gone up a smidge lately with the Fed raising, but it was 0.25 of 1% on average. 2000, it was 5.5. Well, who among us doesn't think we're going to be rushing towards 5.5 again and then some? And so when you figure out what happens when interest rates go to the historically normal levels, that's that 2029 to 2030 timeframe, the cost of servicing our debt alone could balloon to nearly $2 trillion a year. $2 trillion. So, again, how are we going to pay for that? Anyway, okay, let's change gears real quick. We've got just a few minutes. I want to talk about something we'll be talking about on the air tomorrow, as you may know. And if you don't, well, I want to make you aware that on Sunday mornings, 7 a.m., we have the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show, where we talk about projects and deals and selection criteria, et cetera. I heard on the radio just before mine, Self-Made Millionaire, as you know, has radio shows on this station every day of the week. And, of course, it's very much sales-oriented. That's Self-Made Millionaire's background. He was a health club membership salesman, as are some of the others on the air here in Houston. His former associate started his own platform. And so their approach is a little bit different. They're selling memberships, and how do they attract members? By making outrageous claims about how fast you can retire if you'll join their platform and invest in their deals. And, of course, the different approaches. Self-Made Millionaire has captive syndicators. Nobody can participate unless you're in their 20,000, 25,000 level program. The other, his former partner's platform has similar rates, but his transactions are nothing unique to him. Those syndicators you can invest direct with, which is the model that, you know, originally allowed me to start the second show, because once people find out, they no longer have to pay a commission to a travel agent. They buy their I'm sorry. I'm talking about the new paradigm here, right? You don't need to pay a membership fee. You can invest direct. But, boy, does that come with some confusion when you look at the foxes that are coming to raid your hen house, Mr. DuBose. And that's what we do. We look at those agreements. We look at the fees. We understand I'm going to use the old word, projections. Now they're targets, because they're wanting to be very careful. They don't promise you something that market cooperation won't deliver. It's not going to be them that deliver it. They're humans. They're normal like the rest of us. But they're counting on significant market cooperation. They're counting on loans that are at lower rates than what they're going to be at in 3 years when all the bridge debt happens. But in any event, I heard on the show earlier that the gentleman that was being interviewed, he really doesn't look at the cash flow. He's looking at the money at the end. Look, most people don't know what color car they'll be driving at the end of these transactions. You better be looking at cash flow. My clients look at cash flow. I analyze the math to tell you what the projected cash flow might be, and that's critical. I couldn't believe I'm hearing this from that, you know, Self-Made Millionaire show, when all I hear about is retiring you in 2.5 to 5 years. There's no way you do that without significant, I mean significant, cash flow, Dan DuBose. Otherwise, they're saying it loudly and often from the front of the room without any background. They don't ask you, what are the two most important things, Dan, you need to know if you're going to tell somebody that? I know we've talked about it before. Do you recall right offhand what I hammer home almost?
You talking about tax rate?
No, I'm talking about how much money do you have to get started with, and more importantly, how do you define retirement? And without knowing those two variables, how can you tell somebody we'll retire you in 2.5 to 5 years, and especially a guy like the one I had heard interviewed today, where he's not even really concerned about cash flow or whether the syndicator's been to the finish line before. He's willing to say, hey, as long as they are still breathing and have a normal blood pressure, if they've worked in any kind of business setting, I'm okay with that. Well, I'm not. I'll tell you right now, I won't invest in a deal where the syndicator hadn't gotten to the finish line. I don't care what his background is. In any event, we're at the end of the show. Tune in tomorrow. I'm hoping Dan will be able to join us again. It is early there in Houston at that moment, but we hope to both be back, and let's talk more about these syndications. No doubt it's a great space to put some retirement money in or otherwise. Enjoy the show. We'll see you in the morning. Thanks, Dan. Glad you could come on.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.